Are you tired of spending your time and money chasing strategy after strategy, only to discover what worked 10, 5, or even 2 years ago is not working now? Things shift fast in the online space, and if you're not keeping up, you're getting left behind. It's time for something different. Welcome to the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast, where every single episode will be jam-packed with proven, profitable strategies, behind-the-scenes secrets, and what's working now resources from industry experts and global influencers to help you scale your business, shorten your learning curve, and stand out in a crowded, noisy marketplace. And now, your host, award-winning marketing and media strategist and international speaker, Patty Farmer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Marketing, Media, Money Podcast. I'm your host, Patty Farmer, and I'm looking forward to sharing today's industry expert with you. And I'm really excited today because our guest today is somebody that I have known for, man, at least a dozen years. And I met her at an event when I was with my coach at the time, Adam Urbanski, and she was the person who was running that. And man, she just literally was the behind the scenes, the go-to person, the person who seemed like she knew everything that was going on from the front, the back, the side, managing everything and everyone. And she did it with grace. And I have to say that over time, I have really seen her and her company evolve even more. I just had to bring her on here so I could share her with you today. So let me tell you a little bit about her. So Linda Kane is the CEO and founder of Blue Diamond Events, and she's all about events. Whether they're in-person, virtual, hybrid, or high-end destination retreats, Linda and her team at Blue Diamond believe that hosting events is the number one way to drive revenue to your business, create lasting relationships and community, and expand your visibility and influence to be purposefully impactful. They help their clients map out a 6- and 7-figure event-driven business success plan using events as part of their marketing strategy and focusing on key activities that will drive revenue, fill their events, and create extraordinary experiences. Her diverse background and experience planning domestic and international events for over 25 years has positioned her and her team as the sought-after event producers in the entrepreneurial and coaching industry. Linda and her team are all about the heart and relationship of events and their clients. With a Rolodex of the who's who in the transformational coaching and entrepreneur space, her team helps create, plan, and produce consistent 6- and 7-figure events with repeatable processes to maximize profits. You won't find a better team for on-site support, training, strategy, and who will have your back. So Linda, thank you so much for being here today. I can't wait to dive into so much that just that I've experienced with you myself, what I've seen from other people, the events that I have been at, that you were the person that was at the back of the room and helping when I was a speaker, like all around, like, let's just dive in. But thank you so much for being so willing to come here and let me just like ask you so many questions.
Thank you always, Patty. It's a pleasure to be with you. And I'm so excited we're finally getting to do this.
I'm really excited too. I have to say, when we were talking about you being the heart and relationship of events, I have seen that to be true on so many levels. You know, whether you are just a speaker at an event, whether you're sponsoring that event, whether it's here, international, a retreat, the host of the event, like they have a lot of things that they're working on themselves, right? You know, they've got a lot of things that are going on. And having that person that you don't have the stress, it's like you take the stress out of that because they get to hand that all off to you, which makes it so nice. I have to say, I remember when back in the day when we went to that event for Adam, and I remember being invited to be in studio, and we were in studio and he was doing that live stream. I want to say, I think it was one of his first live streams too. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. And man, it went off without a hitch. And I remember thinking, wow, this is so amazing. And that was several years ago. several years ago, but I remember thinking someday I'm going to do this. And I remember that started our ongoing conversation, you and I, about how can I make that happy. I wasn't quite ready then, but I have to tell you, I've been impressed with you from day one, you, your team. Like, you really do have heart and you really understand that it is all about relationships. And this was way even before the pandemic. So I have to tell you, I think that you have one heck of a story you've shared. I mean, just the scoop, so to speak, and the behind the scenes on all the things for all the events. How many events do you think that you have done?
Well, interesting that you should ask that, because Rich Gehrman asked me that recently in an interview too. And I had to stop and go back and add them up. And we are actually, in 20 years of producing events, we are actually right around the little over 1,200 mark of producing events. Now, people think, oh, that doesn't sound like a lot in 20 years. But when you think that most of those have been in the coaching space, and a few have been repeatable, but most of them have been new. But when you look at that, and you look at that, when I took that and we mapped that all out, and we went back and looked at events, and we went back and looked at what the clients had produced from those events, where their businesses had grown, it's like pushing $120 million in 20 years of profits and revenues that came into clients. And so it's huge. When, and I'm like, oh, wow, I had no idea.
Well, you know what's kind of cool about that is because I think a lot of times when people are sharing, like, here's my expertise, this is what I can do, right? And hey, I get it. Like, you know, it's a, I'm a this, right? Now that does give you credibility. That's important. But let's face it, what do people really want to know? What they want to know is, if I hire you, what are the results I'm going to get? So hearing you say that you've done 1,200 events, that is powerful. For those in my audience, though, I know that hearing that you've helped make other people $120 million is more powerful still, right? You know, I mean, that's the name of the game, like, is really is, how are you helping them? And I know for a fact that it isn't just that you are helping them with the event. Like, literally, I don't think people realize exactly what goes on. So one of the things that I do want to talk about really is, if you'd be willing to kind of pull back the curtain, let's go behind the scenes, and without really having to go into detail, because I'm sure we're going to get into some questions and some of that you'll probably already share. But I really want to say is, it isn't just about showing up and having somebody take photos and doing AV. There's so much more that happens to that event before the event even happens. And I think that's where you are really so powerful with the strategy and having all those events under your belt with all different people. You've seen what works, what doesn't, what works for what type of audiences, what kind of offers should they make, when in the event. During the event, is it the best thing to make an offer? Because if you make the offer and it's a 3-day event on the first day, second day, or third day, how much money they can make is probably a lot different. So I think you being able to help them with that. So can you just kind of go, that's like a little bit on like a little bit of a timeline of what really goes into putting on an event?
Absolutely. And it is beyond the, you know, the lunch is ready in 15 minutes and let's go. It's, you know, it, there's so much that goes into it. So even the smallest details of having somebody in the room with you while you're on stage, and a lot of people are like, oh, I'm going to just have my VA help me, or my girlfriend's kid, or my, you know, friend's going to help me. And one of the things that is huge for us that people miss is, we do this day in and day out. And so literally, you know, 32 plus weekends out of the year, we're at events, and not to mention double ups and virtuals and in-person and retreats and international and all that we do. And there's something about having us in a room where we can kind of anticipate and see what's coming. So if your audience is getting up and going to the bathroom a lot and moving around in a session, they're not listening to you in that session. Something's happening. You've lost track of them in that session. So at the break, we will stop and we will go with our hosts and we'll say, hey, we noticed a lot of movement in this session. So either it's because what you're teaching is making them uncomfortable, which is what we want in a transformational event, or they're totally checking out. And it's great because, you know, your girlfriend, your volunteer is not going to be able to see that kind of pattern in the room. And that's going to affect your sales. It also affects your connecting to your audience. So that's one big thing that is really nice about having a professional in the room with you. And peeling it back even further, pre-planning, I see people put up virtual events in 6 weeks and it's great. And, you know, and they can do pretty good with that, but it's the really pre-planning and strategy, making sure that your event is going to flow right, that you have the right sponsors coming in, you have the right guest speakers coming in, that the strategy behind it all matches up and all goals are leading to that main goal that you have. You know, what's the profit goal that you have for the event and where are you taking people? So is it a 12-week course or a year-long program? Is it a one-on-one coaching program? Some people don't even have anything that they don't even know where they're going to take people to. They know they just want to do an event. So we have to build the back-end piece for them. You can't just have an event and let people not have any place to go. You have to be able to have something in place, even if it's just one-on-one consult. You have to be able to sell them into something because that's the whole reason people want to be with you, is they want to experience you. They want to learn from you. They want to grow from you. And so sometimes we're having to build that all out before the event. So we need more time for that. It is looking at the marketing plan, making sure things are in place, making sure key elements are in place, making sure that you have the support that you need to, and a good plan. And organic marketing is still the best. It's who you know, the relationship building, having good sponsors, good speakers, and other people that'll mail for you. And it doesn't have to be a full-blown affiliate type program. It just has to be, you know, will people mail for you and help you get that exposure? Speaking on other stages, creating your own stages to draw people into you, to invite them to your event. Those are things that can be done, and that can be things like challenges, webinars, masterclasses, one-day workshops, all those kinds of things. So it really is having a good strategy and having somebody to hold your hand all the way through. Did you meet your goals this week? Did it work? Why didn't it work? What happened? What tripped you up? And being able to have one of the myths is you don't have to have a contingency plan. People talk about like, oh, you don't have to have a contingency plan. You always have to have a contingency plan. If your marketing's not hitting for some reason and you're getting close to your, you know, halfway goal to your event and you're not filling your room, what's the contingency plan? Do you take do you extend the date and push the date out, or do you shorten it down, you know, shrink it down and make your goals a little bit more realistic? We've done some things like that where we're like, okay, this is going to be a small event now. We'll do the big one later. You know, and change your marketing, just tweak it enough because what you're attracting in isn't what you thought you were attracting in. And just being able to pivot like that is really key.
And what about the follow-up after the event?
Oh, that's so important. And people forget that. They stop, they have a little plan, and then they don't realize that it can take 30 to 45 days to collect all the money that you need to collect from the offers that are out there, because people end up with, they want to do paid in fulls, or they want to do payment plans, and payment plan A didn't work out. So now they need to go to payment plan B, you know, and having all of that in place, having your contracts ready, your checkout carts ready, having your deposit plan ready, who's going to do your follow-up, all of that needs to be in place. It's all part of putting your event together. And people think of just filling the room and getting people in, but it's your content, your outline, your delivery, and your follow-up, and what's your follow-up plan. And it doesn't end with just collecting and putting people into a first for the first call of the program. It's you really have to have, in my opinion, you need to have that first 30 to 45 days mapped out following the event. So you've got your onboarding process and your first two or three calls scheduled, the first two or three assignments ready to go so that they can immediately have engagement. Because remember, everything about sales, and you know this, everything about sales is you get to know them, you make the introduction, you ask them to buy something, they buy the ticket. And depending on when they buy the ticket to your event, you still have to have engagement for them coming into the event. So don't have them buy a ticket because you went to Molly's bar mitzvah and you got to speak and you went to Jane's, business circle meeting and you got to speak, or you went to a chamber of commerce and you got to speak. And that was 4 months ago. Those people have long forgot you. They've probably already booked another event on the same weekend that they bought a ticket for yours. You have to keep them engaged along the way. So depending on how far out you start selling tickets, you need to be able to have something that keeps them going, whether it's like, hey, this is this week's challenge, or this is this month's reading assignment that's going to help you when you come to the event, or do this worksheet, or come to this, masterclass I'm doing. Just got to do some kind of have an engagement plan. Very, very important. And then the same thing on that back end. Have an engagement plan ready to go. They get their onboarding call. They get their first call with you and they have a first couple assignments. So they are immediately engaged. There's nothing worse than buying and waiting 2 weeks to get something. It leaves you cold.
Absolutely. And I have seen that happen on so many different levels, right? So you were talking about myths. Let's talk about that. What are some of the myths that people believe about events? Let's just bust those myths right now. What are some of the most common ones? And what are some of the ones that you hear all the time that you're like, you know what? I just want to bust those myths right now.
Well, the biggest one that we hear is, well, two. One is that it's super hard to fill a room. And let's talk about that one first. So is filling a room difficult? I'm not going to lie. It's not the easiest thing to do. Especially in today's marketplace when there's so many options available to people, but it's not hard to do. The key to remember is you don't have to have a huge audience to meet the goal that you have. Mostly we work with a lot of small businesses and coaches and speakers and authors. And really all they're looking for is 10 to 15 sales to fill their coaching program for their 6 month coaching program or their year long coaching program, depending on what their price point's at. So you really, if you've got 30 to 50 good people in a room that have been pre-qualified and they are your ideal clients in the room, that's all you need. Our clients that are getting 30 to 50 people are closing 300 to 500K every time they do an event. And it's because they haven't given 100% free tickets out. They haven't charged $47. They haven't charged $97. They're charging anywhere from $297 up to $3,000 to be in that room for 3 days. They're giving you content that actually you're sitting there doing something and you feel like you have, if nothing else, you walked away with something done that moved the needle for you, that moved you ahead, either emotionally or mindset-wise or in your business, or you actually got something done that you needed to get done for your business. So that's going to make you want to work with the client even more. And so I really try to get my clients to look at being profitable or break even when doors open. So that's kind of what we look at is how do we do this event where you are at break even when doors open? That's our fee, AV fee, your assistance fee, having sponsors and speakers come in, all that kind of stuff, keeping the cost down. If it's a in-person at a hotel type event, or if it's virtual and online, how do we make it streamlined so that you can be at a break even when your doors open? That's our goal. And then based on that, then we know the units that have to be sold. And then that helps us to look at all of that up front. So filling a room is the biggest thing. It's not easy. It's also not hard. You just have to know who you need in the room and where to find them, and really getting yourself out there. And if you don't have a big list, that's fine. That just means more speaking opportunities, more engagement opportunities, and finding people that'll help bring people to you. And another myth is that it's like too expensive, and nothing can be further from the truth. Even a virtual event can run you, you know, $5,000 or more, depending on how you want to do it. But if you're just in Zoom, you can do it for about $5,000 and have support in the Zoom room with you. You can get an audio team to make really nice music playlists and a welcome video that's playing and welcoming people. You can do some engagement activities in the room that holds people's attention. We can talk a little bit more about the kinds of things you can do for engagements, but it doesn't have to be super expensive. But I do encourage you to use a professional team that can help, again, allow you just to be here and talk, teach, train, and enroll, and let other people, professionals, do the tech behind your chat, posting links, being able to guide the audience and keep conversations going for you is super important. So those are two probably the biggest ones.
I love that. So let's talk about creating your own stage, right? So let's talk about, what are some of the benefits to incorporating events into the marketing strategy, into your marketing business for your number one revenue generating, right? You know, let's talk about what some of those things are.
So absolutely. The biggest thing that I think about why I teach people to create their own stage, and what I mean by creating your own stage, is that can be a weekend event, that can be a virtual event, that can be a in-person 3-day enrollment event with all the bells and whistles. It really is what you want to create and how you want to create it. But the reason that I really push for that and such a proponent about it is that we have clients that in a weekend with 10 to 12 people in a room, they can have a 25K weekend easily, some most of the time a 50K weekend. So when you're looking at creating your own stage, it's basically the bottom line for all of us is we want people to enroll in our year-long coaching program, or we want people to work with us, however people work with us, whether it's a 6-week program, a 12-week program, a 6-month program, or year-long, we all want people to work with us, right? So how we get there is how we use events, because events are the quickest way to bring in cash. It's the quickest way to get people to work with you, and done correctly, you know, it can add an easy 100 to 200,000 a year to what you're already doing. And so I have something that I teach called the Sweet Retreat, which is showing clients how to bring 10, 12 people together in a suite. Not like sweet candy, but like a sweet penthouse suite, or overlooking the ocean or desert or whatever your dream place is. And you bring people with you to that, and you put them together in a room, and you have a nice little offer at the end, which can be anywhere from 5 to 15K. And you sell 3 or 4 people that have been with you for the weekend. You workshop style it, and it works like a charm over and over and over again. And it's really good for quick cash. It's really good if you're a seasoned event planner and you want to test a new content or a new concept, and you can bring in a small group to test and then launch it larger after that. And it works really good for the speaker or the coach that's just trying to get their feet wet with events, but they still need to have a profitable one.
I think one of the things that you've shared so far that I really love, that I think is also a myth, is that for a long time, I think people equate how many people are in the room, virtual or in person, with how much money they can make. And so I think that the audience, clearly from listening to Linda so far, should realize that those two things have nothing to do with each other. I have had events of my own where I had 25 people there and made more money than when I had 100 people. Because it really all depends, right? You know, so I think that is really important. So let's talk about an event-driven business model.
Okay.
So I know that you do that. What is, why is it important and how does it relate to hosting events in that business model?
Okay. So an event-driven, what I want to just say, touch point real quick on what you were talking about being in the room and the numbers game. If you're doing free or really low cost tickets, that's where you've got to have those numbers. You've got to have 500-600 people, especially now since the pandemic, we are seeing 60% show up in the virtual space. So if you have 100 people registered, you're only going to have 60. And if out of those 60 people, 20 are already in a program with you, you only have 40 viable buying units in the room. So why waste your time, energy, money, and resources on pushing to get 100 and 150 people in the room when all you need is 40 new people that you focus on, that you build a relationship with, that you get into your program. And from there, you sell into your program. So just wanted to give that little point out. I think people miss that. They think they have to have the big, huge numbers. They have to have, 1,000 people and 2,000 people. But if you're pricing your event right and pricing whatever you're doing correctly, you don't have to have those huge numbers. You can do it with the right model. So what I started to realize is that people were doing like one event here, one event there, and they might go off and do a challenge and it had nothing to do with their event. They might go off and do a workshop, but it had nothing to do with the 3-day enrollment event that they wanted to do or the international retreat that they wanted to do. So I started having my clients, we started talking about an event-driven business. So all roads lead to that enrollment event or that retreat that you want to take people on and enroll from there. So by having an event-driven business, what we do is we map out their whole year now. So what are they going to do first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, and where does their enrollment event fall? And then depending on that, then how are they driving traffic to that? What kind of, are they speaking on stages and when? Are they doing workshops and when? Are they doing webinars and when? How are they enrolling? And they really map it out so that everything that they do all year long is guided and pointed toward driving that revenue goal that they have, rather than just saying, I want to do an event. And then they 6 months, they're like, boom, 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 or 4 months, boom, 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 boom. And everything else in their business stops because they're focused on an event. This way, the event gets focused on all year as they're doing other projects. They still have that already in place.
I agree with that. And as a matter of fact, like really honestly, like when you're thinking of events or platforms, like, when you're thinking about that, I even see people do that in simple things like podcasts, right? They're on a podcast. And then if they are allowed to offer like some type of freebie or some value to next step, sometimes people will do them that didn't have anything to do with what they talked about. Mm-hmm. Right? Or I even see it in my magazine. Right. A lot of times and stuff. So, I mean, really, it should be a natural progression. Yeah. And that might not be something easily for people. And that's why it's really great to really be able to have someone like you that can look at big picture. And how much easier is it to think that, I don't have to think right now about like you do. It's kind of like reverse engineering a little bit. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot, actually. But when you're thinking about it, it's like now you know what the next thing is. All you have to do is figure out what the next thing is and then the next thing and then the next thing. And I think that makes a lot of sense. But then, you have been doing this for a while. Kind of leads me to my next question, really, is, we all know that we don't wake up and say, this is what I want to do. And then, I mean, I'm sure there are some people, when they're young, say, I want to be a doctor. And then they do become that, right? But I think as an entrepreneur, we kind of have a meandering road that gets us to where we finally get to the thing that we were meant to do, that what we're really passionate about. We go through a lot of things along the way. And I like to call that kind of the backstory, right? Which I think is what is so interesting. And that's how I feel why when you find that right person, a lot of it was kind of the backstory and your story. And kind of like when we hire anybody, it's like, what's the vibe, right? You know? So could you share with us a little bit how you got involved in events and what a little bit of your backstory is?
Sure. So I was always sort of the girl that was involved in doing something party-wise or event-related. I was a cheerleader in high school, song leading and cheerleading. And so obviously I immediately from the get-go of earning that spot on the squad was involved in helping with the PTA, with the pep rallies and with the competitions that we went to and got into behind the scenes of that. Spent a lot of my summers planning and helping and working at the different competitions. And that led me into my senior year of high school. And I was working with a catering company. I'm here in the Southern California, Pasadena, Arcadia area. And so we had a lot of ties into the Rose Bowl, the Rose Parade, and things that happened in the city of Pasadena around that. And so I was working with a catering company, and we did as a senior, and I found that I could work Saturdays or Sundays when I didn't have competitions and make a whole lot more money working one day than all of my friends who were working three or four different kind of part-time jobs around their school schedule, right? And I'm like, oh, hey, I worked twice this month and I made a hell of a lot more money than you made.
Way to go.
I worked 18 hours, but
still.
Right. So we had an assignment right after my graduation from high school. We got an assignment to do a golf tournament for one of Los Angeles premier law firms at the time. And so I worked on this golf tournament, and it was an award ceremony for clients. And they had was in LA at the Riviera Country Club, and we had a dinner, and we actually were golfing people between three different clubs. And it was a couple hundred people were playing. And so I was part of the lead on organizing all of that. And I knew nothing about golf. So I went to my father and asked him, and then I read a little book like the dummy golf book, you know, over the weekend. And so at least I knew some terminology and things like that and educated myself and had a blast doing that event. And then a couple weeks after that, I got an invitation by the managing director of the law firm to come and talk with them. So I signed right on with the firm to be part of their marketing and events department. I also worked as a paralegal during that time, got my paralegal certificate, and I worked with them for about 12 years. And during that time, I was doing all kinds of events and partner retreats and programs and training. We created five trade organizations during that time, the Foreign Banking Association for all the foreign banks that do business here in the U.S. So we did a lot of programs and seminars and workshops with the Federal Reserve and the FDIC. We created the Los Angeles Intellectual Property Law Association. And so I was the events and executive director for that group as well as part of the assignment with the firm, and did all their training and two or three others that we did. So fast forward, and I got invited by a friend of mine who was she had left corporate and was speaking on stages and doing speaker training. And she asked me to help her with an event that she was doing, and it was called Speak Your Way to Wealth. And it was a three-day old-fashioned pitch fest where the first speaker had an offer for $47 and the last speaker had an offer for like $5,000. And so I came to this event. It was in 2006, or actually 2003. And I came to this event, and I was standing in the back of the room, and I had helped her organize it, took a couple of days off of the firm, and I fell in love with what people were doing. And Eric Lomquist was there. Adam Urbanski, you mentioned earlier, was there. Joel Bauer was there. Bob Proctor was there. I mean, there were just so many big names in our industry were there, and each one got up and had a little thing that could help your business, and they sold it. And then they had another person that got up and had a little thing that they could sell that could help your business. And it was It was just exciting to me. And I went back from working on that and I was at the firm and I got this call from our dear friend, Adam, who we had been talking in the back of the room about what I did for the firm. And so fast forward a couple of years and he asked me to help him with an event. So I helped him with his first event. And I went back and gave a notice to my firm and created Blue Diamond Event Management. And so we're celebrating our 20th year this year and love it. The law firm was my first client. I worked with five of those trade associations and had them up until when the pandemic hit. A couple of them we had let go earlier, but for the most part, we continue to work with them for 10 to 12 years longer. While I was building up my audience with entrepreneurs, speakers, coaches, thought leaders, and have been able to, the cool thing about what we do, and I think the passion for why I do what I do is I love to see where it just gets me so excited to see an event come together, to have it break even, to have it be profitable. But even more than that, to see relationships birth and people move the needle. They're no longer afraid. They can now do whatever it is that they need to do, whether it's personal development and they can step forward and be the leader they're meant to be, or if they need to leave if it's a relationship building workshop and they can finally step away and leave a bad relationship, whether it's, no matter what it is, because of what we do, we see so many different kinds of events. It's you know, whether the person's business has been moved forward or they've stepped out from relationship or they've stepped out in their personal design, I just love being able to see how, I mean, I can look at all the people that we've met over the years and see where they're currently at. And some people aren't doing events anymore, but they have this great business, whatever it is, and they're happy and they're doing it and they have the life that they wanted to have. And for me, being able to do this work has allowed that for me as well. We've grown. I'm able to help amazing clients. We're able to travel. We help our clients plan international trips around the world. My family has gotten to go with me. I love travel. I've always wanted to travel, so I've built it into my business. So, you know, you want to do an international retreat? Let's go. Where are we going? Italy, Costa Rica, Australia, the Dominican tree houses. I mean, you know, there's so many amazing places to go. And I love what I do because it has afforded me the ability to work for myself when I want, how I want, but work with amazing people around the world that are doing good and really moving the needle in our world. So
that is fabulous. What would you say are three things that every host must know and be really solid in before they plan their event and why?
Oh, I think the first thing that an event host needs to know is that it's not going to be an easy road. It will be a challenge. It will take work, but the end result is going to be so worth it. And then I think they need to know the second thing, you know, like really knowing and having that desire that they know that they want to do this and that they're ready to do the work. The second thing is to really know their numbers and do they have the audience that they can pull from to do the event, whether it's a retreat or a 500 person event, 10 or 1,000 people, do you have the marketing mechanism in play that you can draw those people in? So if you want 10 people, can you find those 10 people? If you want 1,000 people, can you find those 1,000 people? Like knowing and believing that you have that ability and knowing that you have some level of mechanism, you know, you've got stages you can speak on, you've got people that will mail for you, you've got a decent list. And that you have some traction, because if you have traction, it can grow and it can become what you need it to be. If you don't have any traction, then we got to get traction first. You know, don't take off more than you can chew. Will smart, start with small events and build from there. If a, you know, if a big event is what you want to do. The third thing I think is that you have a belief in yourself that what you want to teach and train on the world needs, and that you know it backwards and forwards and are comfortable with it, so that you have no problems feeling confident that you can teach it and that people will buy an offer from you. We can figure out what the offer is going to be. You have to believe that you have something of value. And the reason I think those three, you know, I could say fill the room, have money, know your budget, and all those other kinds of things. But if you don't have that confidence, belief, and a foundation to draw from, all clients come to me after, quote, trying an event. And I've been through the growth of this with clients in the early days where I didn't know any better either. I knew how to put an event together, but I hadn't focused on where the people come from or the dollar end of the event. And when I shifted and started to follow the money is when I got very passionate about, like, no, you don't have enough people to do an event. Let's just do a retreat, or let's just do a small program.
I think that makes a lot of sense. So I'm sure that with all these years that you've been doing events, you must have some favorites. So what are the best events that you like to produce and why?
Okay. So my favorite events are in-person events, because there's just nothing, I don't care who you are, what you're doing. When you get an audience live together with you and you get to hang out with them and they get to hang out with you and you're build relationships and, you know, oh, Carol, I haven't seen you forever. Patty, blah, you know, there's just that human connection and we really need it. And it just really builds strong relationships. And so doing in-person events are obviously all my favorite. And the ones that I love the best are the ones that have a little bit of engagement factor to them. So maybe there's a yacht outing or, you know, pro golf or we go horseback riding or the spa or a paint class or wine tour. There's something kind of fun as an extra activity that's done that allows those relationships to be built and have people have an experience together. Even if it's a crying session, you know, we're going to break you down and put you back together. Those are cool too. And having destinations. I love destination events where we can go someplace and really experience together. Those are all my favorite. And size-wise, I like events that are 50 to 100 people are the ones that I love the best. But having said that, I really enjoy a good, well-put-together virtual event, because it allows you to draw people from around the world and timed right and done during the, you know, right time frame. You can have such amazing people come that maybe would never ever get to come because of kids at home or, you know, I've met people who have had, you know, special needs children and they would probably never ever be able to get to go to a client's event, but they got to. Favorite clients, I can't do. I love so many of our clients that to call a client out would just...
No, I won't ask you to do that. I wouldn't ask you to do that. That wouldn't be good. So
but maybe you'll be my favorite because you want to do some really fantastic things. And a lot of what you want to build and do is things that I want to build and do. So we'll see where that goes.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So... let's talk about Marketing Media Money. This is the Marketing Media Money podcast. What would you say is your number one? You had so many and you gave so much value. What would you say is the number one Marketing Media Money strategy?
Just do an event. Really and truly, bring 10 people, 12 people in a room with you for the weekend. Charge $1,000 to $3,000 and have a nice offer where they can work one-on-one with you, or that you could put them in a 6-month group coaching for, you know, $10,000, $5,000 to $10,000 is one of the best strategies, because you can get 25 to 50K in a weekend easily. You can test out material. you can build camaraderie. You can get testimonials. So if you need testimonials, you've got 10 great people that have been with you for a weekend, and have them all do a testimonial as part of their process. And I just think, you know, doing an event is really the best marketing strategy that you can do. They can be put up quick and fast in the virtual space. They can be put up long and a little arduous with a hotel and but you can put a retreat together too very quickly.
That's fabulous.
You can do four of them a year easily, one a quarter.
That is fabulous and profitable too. Yep. Speaking about profitable, mm-hmm. You have a gift that's kind of about that. So you have a great gift that you have for my audience. So could you tell us a little bit about the gift and everybody, just so that you know, we will have the link below. So we're going to make it nice and easy for you. But tell us what the gift is and tell us a little bit about it.
So the gift is our Profitable Events Guide, the complete guide. And we wrote it during when the pandemic hit. When the pandemic hit, we, as like the whole world, we all went virtual, and we had about 3 months of downtime from March to June before we did our first virtual event. And our client, we had 150 people in the room, and she hit over 350 in sales in the virtual space. And we never thought in our wildest imaginations that that could happen. And we proved a model, and then we continued to do that then for the next year and a half. But we wrote the guide because I wanted to break down the four basic events: a retreat, a virtual event, an in-person event, and the hybrid event. And the hybrid event is where you have both a virtual audience and you have an in-person audience. And it's really like running two events together. And I just really wanted to break it down so people could see what the four different event styles are and when they should be using them. Because they're not for, you know, some people don't need to do all of them. Some people do all of them.
I think one of the things I really love about it is I've already, you know, have the guide. It's very comprehensive too. I mean, this isn't like fluff. It's very, very robust. So thank you so much for sharing that with my audience. And I know my audience is going to want to connect with you. So can you tell them how they can connect with you, Linda?
Yes, they can go to eventsbybluediamond.com. And the blue has no E, so it's eventsbybluediamond.com if you're looking on the video. Everything's there. Our social media links are there. We've got a couple other freebies for you as well. And you can find the guide. You can find our event assessment to just see how event ready you are. You can book a call with me. And I love doing free strategy sessions and creating magic and seeing what people have. I think my genius, they have told me that it's my genius, so I'm stepping into it. But is people start talking and they're like, oh, I could never do an event. And they start telling me about what they do. And within a minute, we've designed out, like, if you did this and this and this, would that be an event? And they're like, oh my God, I could do that. That's great. Okay, let's do your event. And so sometimes you just need to have somebody else who looks at it differently, look with you to pull it out and draw it out, and or to validate that you're on the right path. It's so important.
Oh, it is. And I just love that. And I just love having you here, Linda. This has been absolutely fabulous. So we're going to make sure we have all of her links below. So if you just look down, you'll see the links to everything she has, every place to be able to connect with you. And you will want to, absolutely. So Linda, thank you so much for being here with me today. I appreciate you just being so open to just kind of look behind the curtain, really kind of share that, and actually really to also really share how important, like, you know, the relationship, the experience is. You know, it doesn't have to be that you have to, you know, $500,000, like, you know, all of those things. I think that you've taken some of the fear and stress away from the people that are listening. And I really appreciate you doing that. So thank you so much for being here with me today.
My pleasure. Love you so much. And thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. And for my audience, thank you so much for joining us on the Marketing, Media, and Money podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, and I am absolutely sure you did, please subscribe and review the podcast on your favorite listening platform. Thank you for being here with us today. We'll see you again next week.
Thank you for joining us today on the Marketing, Media, and Money podcast. To shorten your learning curve even more, make sure to grab your free copy of the Marketing, Media, and Money magazine at www.marketingmediamoney.com. I promise your business will thank you.